Coming back for part three, Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains. And a third portion, but the rebellious, dwell in a dry land. And if you're like me, when I read scriptures like that, I want to know who they are. Do you ever read wanting to know who somebody is in the scriptures when they write about somebody? Do you not have a curiosity to want to look a little further? And well, once again, in this psalm, Israel has a great part of its history. And it goes like this. Meaning the Jewish people, but not limited to them, in whom Christ came, and whom they rejected, reviled, hated, and would not have him to reign over them, and were a gainsaying and disobedient people, for which their land was smitten with a curse, and in the time of their wars became a dry land, when famine and pestilence were everywhere, and such tribulation as was never known. Moreover, the nations of the world among whom they were dispersed are a dry land to them, and even such places as are become fruitful through the preaching of the gospel are no other to them, who neither do hear it, nor will they hear it. And they are like persons in a dry and thirsty land, vainly expecting a Messiah who will never come because he came and they missed their opportunity. Now let's take that to the next step. This may also be applied to all those who do not obey the gospel. They've heard it, but they want nothing to do with its message. Don't be one of them, like I was at one time. And maybe some of you. Some of you may have been born saved, but I doubt it. You need to be born again. But you know, the worst part of this is it's like I pleaded with my sister-in-law with this message. And right up to the end, I told you what she said. Ricky, don't get religious with me. And those were her last words. I didn't like that answer, because When we, as a body, but also individually, once you get saved and you know what you got saved from and you know the goodness of the Lord and you have experienced and you've tasted that the Lord is good, you just want everybody that you know, and maybe strangers later, but you know, the first people we want to go back to is our families. Well, you know, even Nazareth wasn't too kind to Jesus as their Messiah. He was Joseph's son. He made coffee tables and chairs and whatever else they made in their carpentry shop. And they had a familiarity with him, and sometimes with families, it's really hard to reach people because they always remember the old you and then tell you, how, oh, you haven't changed. I haven't seen you in 10 years. Well, that's why you didn't see the changes. But the end result is not a happy ending. I know Don and I joke back and forth a lot when we saw that train coming through the TV screen and we thought we were going to die because our consciousness was slightly altered. He got saved and then I didn't want to see him anymore. But he's part of my story, and I'm part of his. And we share it openly with you because you may have friends that you knew before you were saved, and then one of them got saved. Were you immediately running to get what they had? Did I hear a no? At least one no in the house? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. But the desire is there. And yet, they have no idea what lies before them if they never make that choice for Jesus. It's really harsh, but the biblical answer is for all those who do not obey the gospel of Christ, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. And that's hard to comprehend, those kind of things. Because at the time when I wasn't saved, I didn't even care. I had a drug overdose once when my heart stopped. And the only thing that it did was I didn't do that particular drug again. But it didn't change my lifestyle. People have had bad car crashes, drunk driving. The only thing it did was it crimped their driving for a while till they got a new car. But it's about a life-changing experience. They murmured and rebelled against God and vexed his spirit in the wilderness, going back to the Jewish people. I can even envision how they thought Moses' brains got baked out in the heat of that desert, and why should we follow him anymore? And a lot of them didn't, and you know what? They died in that desert. Their carcasses were there for the vultures to pick the meat off the bones. And that's a graphic scene, but it happened. People don't know. And I'm finding it more difficult to be any more convincing. And I've come to realize that it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit that touches the heart and prepares that heart to receive the word. The parable of the sower and the seed is a very, very powerful example of that, how everyone hears the word. But the condition of the heart is where it really counts. And sometimes in our zeal we have to remember that and not deny the working of the Holy Spirit in the heart preparation. So if there are people in your families, because I know that you're saved, but what about the ones that maybe haven't come to the Lord yet? Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up believing. Don't ever stop praying for them. Don't ever stop binding the powers of darkness and the spirits that hold them bound and hold them captive. Keep it up. Keep the pressure on the enemy. You have to realize he wants to take as many with him as he thinks that he can. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to break down strongholds on behalf of others. There's a person in our extended family right now kind of clinging to life because she drank herself into such a state that her body organs have started to malfunction or not function. And with the wonderful medical technology we have, as far as I know, that right now she's still alive. She's heard the gospel. One of her sisters is saved. Her mom and dad are saved. And here she lies in this awful condition. So this is kind of hits home to me personally because I was just like that at one time. And it's kind of hard for me to bring scriptures like these because it's, to me, it's not a feel-good word, you know, where we come to get encouraged and lift each other up. But I'll tell you, there's nothing, if you knew somebody And that bridge had collapsed down here that goes across Route 5 and out over the river. And you had a friend that was wailing down the interstate from Springfield to Westminster. Would you not do everything you could to hope they had cell service so you could warn them that the bridge was out? See, that I'm finding, I don't know if we're being lulled into a sense of awareness where all of a sudden the urgency seems to be coming upon us again. I don't want to come and get into politics or the political climate of our nation right now, but I'll tell you, they can do everything they want to, but the only answer is for a massive revival of people getting saved, and we really need to keep our faith together believing for that. And even if it's one at a time, that one will sit in eternity with the Lord and all those that listen to the message. We can't walk somebody else's walk. We can't force people to make those kind of choices. But hopefully by our lives, they'll see enough of the Lord in us that it won't scare them away. They will come because we carry His goodness. We carry His light. We carry His anointing. We carry His gifts. We carry the message that will change the hearts. We have the power to forgive. You know, there was a time in Scripture when only God had the power to forgive. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were quick to jump on Jesus like a chicken on a bug. Oh, only God has the power to forgive. What are you doing forgiving that man his sins? Because it was a power that only God had. And if they had any kind of spiritual perception, they would have seen that Jesus Christ was God. God in the flesh. God in an earth suit. That way I can tell Sunday school kids that story. God in an earth suit. Because people have been in spacesuits now and they go out into space. But Jesus was God in an earth suit. And He forgave. And we now have that power. We hold it over people by withholding it when God doesn't withhold it. Oh, my prayer today is that God would give me something more fun to preach. But you know, it may not be so much for us personally. But we, as long as we live, there are going to be people in our families. I don't know anybody yet in my life for every person in the family saved yet. And I really want to have another opportunity to be effective. All I can say is that I had to trust the Holy Spirit to speak to my sister-in-law's spirit, because now her name is in the obituary and I know where she's planted. And I'm still holding fast to when a person has no outward sign of life yet, or still, but they're still breathing, there's still hope. And we all know a lot of people that are borderline at times, dealing with life-taking diseases and sicknesses, and making sure that we can be in that room with them. Because the gospel will cut through morphine. The gospel will cut through obstinance and rebellion. The gospel cuts through and has more power than any other message that we could ever call. See that? That's how quick it could happen. You could fall over and be gone. Perfect. Oh, man. So, I read these kind of scriptures and I'm immediately drawn to them, because I see conditions in a lot of scriptures, and I see scriptures that are clearly in segments. You could take them apart and put them in three pieces, four pieces, and take one at a time and meditate on it just for a week and see all the things that I didn't read to you that I've seen in these. But I've seen enough to be able to whet your appetite for people that you know, people that you're concerned about, people that you love and are cared about, or you care about them. There's still enough time in this year to believe God for a harvest, an increase. And I'm not talking about renewed life increase, but the body of Christ increase, that more people, as we get squeezed tighter and tighter and tighter, and it's coming fast, things are changing very quickly, that more people will literally come to their senses and keep your faith fervent, keep your concern alive, don't get slack. But I encourage you to take the stand that you stood. Thank you. Man, this place is hot today. Horns blowing, things falling out of everywhere. But we know that God is a good God. And I'm so glad, Aaron, you played that song today, because he is a really good, good father. And I'm proud of a lot of the fathers in this house that I personally know. You've been a good, good father to your children as well, and a wonderful grandfather. And all you moms, I don't have to see all your names on a Mother's Day card, but, you know, what you sowed into your children and what you may be sowing into your grandchildren now. Don't stop. Don't give up. And Barbara, especially you, if I hear you're slacking off, I'm going to be looking for you. So I know you, I can say that. Because you have a tenacity about you that I marvel. And I'm just so, so proud of all of you. Because I know that I could be just speaking these things to the choir, so to speak. But there are things to me personally, too, that mean a lot when it comes to seeing the harvest, an end-time harvest that's happening in other parts of the world. People are getting saved in the Muslim community. People are being saved in India. And that gospel has the power to cut right through every religion known to man. And I still am holding out that it'll cut through communism and socialism and every other ism. I like seeing pictures of people that are, there were no places to get baptized, and so they would pour water just in a dirt hole for a baptism. It's beautiful. Anyway, does anybody in the house need prayer today? When he said miry clay, it reminded me of a time, one of the many times, that I got all bent out of shape, so I went out and got wasted in a bar and went down, and I was actually going to jump in the Hudson River and drown myself. However, there was a problem. The Hudson River empties into the ocean, and there's a high tide and there's a low tide. While in my drunken stupor, I went out and jumped in the river, and I landed in mud right up to here. And then I said a lot of things I called myself that are very unbiblical at that time. And I said, what am I doing? I love to swim. At high tide, I swam way over to that island over there. It's like a mile up the river. And I'd wait for the tide to come in and swim, and the current would carry me over to that island, and I love to swim. And did I have a time getting out of that muck and that mud. And when you said God lifts us out of the miry clay, I think it had to have been him, because I was under the influence of a spirit as well. But I weren't sure it was the Holy Spirit, but all I know is I got myself extricated. And it's a good graphic picture. So thank you for just throwing that in there, because do you ever have a flashback of something really stupid you did in your life? Yeah? Oh, good, I came to the right place today. So let's pray for Pug.